In the sports talk radio justice world, mediocre quarterback play and porous tackling are considered especially heinous. On the Lance J Show, the dedicated detectives who investigate these vicious felonies are members of an elite squad at Paragon 7 Studios. These are their stories.
I'm always curious of your perspective because you grew up in the same type of environment. You know, we've talked since you've been on the show about your significant talents and you being anointed and blessed with the ability of spoken word. But what was it like when you kind of, because in our family, you know, you either grow up to be a pastor, or you grow up to be a pastor's wife. Those are your two choices. Maybe choice three, you can be a nurse and work for the church at one of our hospitals or a doctor. Mm-hmm. But those are the only three choices. Yeah. Like, you know, when you pivoted and moved away from that and decided to do your own thing, how was that received?
Well,
how's that impacted you?
Well, I think that it wasn't received very well because of what triggered the move.
All right.
So what triggered the move?
Are you comfortable sharing that?
I am.
Okay.
Are you all right?
Okay, fantastic.
So what triggered the move was my mother found out that I was bisexual.
All right.
And she found out because, you know, just being a mom, you know,
When was this? Is this at like 15 or is this at like 25, 30?
This is at almost 18 years old. And so she finds out, and, you know, it's a big argument, and of course she kicks me out, because that's what you should do when you love your child. You kick them out because of their sexual...
You got kicked out the house?
Oh, yes. Kicked out. Like, get out. You cannot stay here.
In high school?
Oh, yeah.
Where did you go?
I had to go to a friend's house.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I'm not talking about kicked out for, like, one night, something like that. I'm talking about months. Like, oh, wow. She was big, big mad. So what ended up happening was there was... just so many things that happened, quote unquote, in the name of Jesus,
right,
that really hurt me. And I could not bring myself to an understanding of Jesus' love and Jesus hurting me at the same time. I don't understand. It didn't work.
Interesting.
And so that's what ultimately kind of pushed me away to having the need to only find Jesus or only find God or only find this Christ consciousness in these four walls called a church.
Wow.
I had to find it somewhere else or I was going to die. Literally. So that's how that kind of came about. And then, of course, just, you know, wanting to learn about other people, other religions, wanting to learn about the human mind,
How do you feel about that as an adult looking back? Because this is, you know, I'm not going to put your age out there, but this is years ago, and you've moved on and had a lot of success in life and you know, matriculated. When you look back on it, and now you're a therapist, so you help other people that are probably going through some of the same things, but how do you perceive that, especially, you know, because in our thing, and that's one of the reasons I asked you to co-host the show, in our thing, I call it our thing, like the mafia,
right?
In Cosa Nostra, in our thing, if you live what is considered to be an alternative lifestyle, that is the response for many people. Now, we're much more evolved as a society, mm-hmm. 20, 10, 15, even 30, 40, 50 years later. We know not to do that now. That would be frowned upon now. Mm-hmm. I think that in your era, that was the typical response.
Right.
But that's not the typical response now. We know that that's unacceptable. We have much more studies on people and sexuality. It is not as taboo or threatening for an individual to express who they really are, mm-hmm. as it was years back. But how does that sit with you as an adult that probably talks to people that, because I know so many people that lived a false reality in our church.
Right.
For years, because they didn't want similar experiences.
Right.
And then.
And still
what,
live that
what
way.
I think is really hurtful for me to watch. It's a false reality, and then you get into a family, a marriage, and then you make that decision when you're our age,
right,
after pretending to be something that you're not.
For 10 years.
For maybe more, mm-hmm. for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And that destroys, I feel like that's even more destructive.
Oh, yeah, because now you're involved in a whole bunch of people.
Because now you have kids, and you know, you have a family and all of that stuff. But where do you see, and I'm talking about from the church more than society, what is your perspective, considering what you went through as an adult looking back?
Well, of course, hindsight is always 20/20, right? So now, as a therapist and being able to use my life experience to help other people, of course, now I'm like, well, you know, I had to go through it in order to get to where I am, of course. However, I think that where people are right now, as you said, you know, oh, well, things have changed the last 20 years, 30 years, 40, maybe even 50, that's very taboo to treat somebody in that way. I think it's only that, only taboo because people are afraid of being canceled and or afraid of their abuse being highlighted.
So it's not authentic.
It's not authentic.
People just don't want the repercussions.
People don't want the repercussions. And so I think that what it really is and what really hurt me about my personal experience is really the lack of love.
Oh, wow.
Because now, of course, when people are in my presence, my lesbianism or my desire for a female is not even seen. It's not overt. It's not something that I wear on my sleeves. There are thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that follow me that didn't even know that I was bisexual or didn't even know that I was married to a woman.
Didn't care.
And then when it came out, they're like, wait, what?
Probably didn't care.
Didn't care. Didn't care. So for me, it's like if you could have just, and when I say
that's
you,
part of the reason I asked you to be on the show, though. I was just going to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah, why?
That's part of the reason I wanted you to be on the show, though.
Because?
Because you could tell some stories that I can't tell.
Oh, yeah.
You,
yeah.
I know you just said in the last segment that you was at Aaron, you was with Aaron Hall at the
Peanut
Lesbian Club.
Yeah, 796.
You know, I can't tell that story.
No,
you can tell that story.
No, you can't tell that story, Jay.
Hey, I can't get into that place.
Yeah, I got a lot. No, you could get in. You could get in, but you can't tell a story like I tell a story. But
I can tell you some stories about you living in Atlanta. I can tell you some stories about Magic City.
Oh, I got a couple of stories about Magic City too. Now,
shout out to my lovely wife. Before I was married and before I was in a relationship,
clean it up.
But spent quite a few.
Clean it up.
A few thousands of dollars.
Yeah, Magic City was.
It's just a very special place.
Very special place
where dreams come true.
Where dreams
for men and for women.
Yeah,
it's a phenomenal place. And nothing like getting a triple lappy with stadium seating when there are hundreds of people cheering you on. I wasn't prepared for that the first time I went there. You know, think of me growing up going to some of these hole-in-the-wall strip clubs that are about the size of here, and you know, it's about 200-300 square feet. And you go to Magic City, and it's just like, yo, this
an
is
arena.
Like a, it's like an amphitheater.
Yeah, it's
like
arena.
They could literally, the Hawks could play a game.
Anatomy.
You know, on there. So it's just very interesting. But, you know, I always wanted that perspective. I think perspective is so important, Megan, on air to get different stories. And I know that to me, being a healthcare professional, it's part of my job to ensure that everybody has healthcare rights.
Yeah.
So one of the big things that comes up are the rights of the LGBTQ community. Because there's a different set of health needs that, and even the transitional community, it's a set of needs. My opinion on why you want to, whatever's going on is irrelevant. That's, I always start the conversation, just like my opinion on what I think about if someone should be terminating a pregnancy, it doesn't matter. My opinion, if someone wants to transition, it doesn't matter. My opinion, if someone, we've seen, unfortunately, there are higher rates of HIV in gay men's community. My opinions don't matter. It's my job to make sure that everybody within my jurisdiction has access to healthcare, that they can have the best options to make them as whole of a person physically and mentally as possible. Mm-hmm. And you can't drive that narrative if it's just a group of straight men having that conversation. You've got to have people from different communities, different walks of life, that have seen different things going on, and that's just a very important discussion to me. It's something that's truly near and dear to my heart because it impacts communities, and there are underserved people. I do a lot of work with Medicare and Medicaid, and those are highly underserved communities. These are people that are going to FQHCs. I've done a lot of work with Planned Parenthood over the years, a lot of work with grief counseling over the years, and you know, you and I won't ask you to get into this, but you and I both lost our mothers abruptly, mm-hmm. Under horrible circumstances. Mm-hmm. And me personally, I lost my mother and my grandfather the same week. really the two closest people to me in the world at that time. And I would not have survived if not for the therapy and not for facing those things. You know, I think after my mother passed away,
100%.
I was strong enough to get to the funeral and to hold my father down and to get her into the ground. And it was during COVID. We had to find a place where we could bring in a few hundred people, but they could sit 6 feet apart. And we had just buried your Uncle Charles. Mm-hmm. So I had known everyone at Royal Funeral Home in Huntsville, Alabama. Like, I knew those people. It was like, yo, let's go out and puff a J or something. Like, we were homies. But after my mother's funeral, which was on Halloween in 2020, I sat in my house for 16 consecutive days. Pizza boxes. I did not get out of bed. Didn't take a shower. Didn't change for almost a week. And I remember getting up and like I had a rash because I had the same shirt on for like 8 days. And, you know, I took a shower. I was like, I need some help. And I took a shower and got dressed and went to start getting counseling. And was in counseling for probably 2 years after that. And these issues are just so big. It's so important to have people like you that have had experiences and to discuss it on the forum. So I just appreciate your honesty.
Thank you so much. Yeah, when my mother passed, of course, like you said, it was very abruptly. She was murdered, and while I was on the telephone with her, and literally that next day, not the next day, but the day after the next, I went to my therapist. I went to my therapist's house because I knew that what I was about to deal with was not something that I could handle on my own. And, of course, I'm able to help people with grief counseling now and, you know, help people with things that they're just, you know, it's a shock to the nervous system.
Yeah.
Completely changes the way that you look at life when something so traumatic happens to you. I do workshops on healing childhood trauma all the time. People do not have any idea on how the loss of a parent at the age of 7 or the loss of just a divorce or a cold or getting sick or all of these different things really affect your trauma and the foundation of how you will perceive the rest of your life, even though it happened to you at 7 or it happened to you at 13 or you were bullied or whatever.
Right.
It actually is forming your self-concept.
Yeah.
So if your self-concept has holes in it or bumps or lumps or whatever you want to call it, that is how you're going to live out the rest of your life. And so you think that, oh, well, I'm grown now. I'm 50-something years old now, and that happened when I was 7. I'm not affected by that anymore. Oh, yes, you are.
Yeah.
And I can show you exactly how it is affecting you. It's affecting you in your health. It's affecting you in your mental, your emotional state, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. How you relate to other people, how you relate to yourself in your own mind, because how you think about you is based on how you've always thought about you. It doesn't really change that much until you really get some therapy. And so when you already have probably some childhood trauma situations, especially those of in our particular community, the Black community, I guarantee you have childhood trauma just because of the way the community is set up, the way the culture has established itself. You're going to have some childhood trauma issues. And then on top of that, grief, divorce, cheating, relationships,
and high
loss
blood pressure,
of kids, high diabetes. Blood pressure, diabetes, heart congestive failure, all these different things.
It
your life,
together.
You need some therapy so that you can really pull things apart and look at them separately so that as they congeal, it makes sense and it's not just chaos knocking you around in your own life.
Very well put. I want to let you close, Megan. Once again, we always want when you come in and join us, and thank you so much for giving us a few hours of your time. Where can the listeners on HR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141, where can we plug in with you? Where can they find you? I know that you do a lot of reels. You do a lot of content. You have a YouTube channel. You have your own website. Just make sure we get all of your information.
Okay, and thank you so much again, cousin, for having me in. I mean, I love coming out here. It's just amazing. What you're doing is phenomenal. So my name is Megan McGlover, and you can literally find me at MeganMcGlover.com. MeganMcGlover.com, Megan McGlover on Instagram. My YouTube is a little bit different. YouTube is McGlover Fole, so my last name, MC, capital G, L-O-V-E-R, F-U-L, like beautiful, McLoverful. All right. And that's where I'm at. And StopLyingBook.com is my last book that I wrote, and I'm finishing up my next book, which is Tell the Truth. But StopLyingBook.com, you can get that right now.
Thank you so much for your time. Look forward to collaborating with you in the future.
Awesome.
All right.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, you are listening to the Lounge J Radio Network.
You're going to pay taxes on that money. So I think what's going to blow this up is 3-4 years in, somebody's going to get a couple of M's under the table in NIL, and the IRS is going to absolutely fillet them. And if they don't go to the NFL and can't make up that money, either you're going to be a rookie in the NFL or a second year in the NFL, and the IRS is going to be garnishing that arse, or you're going to go to jail.
Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
You're going to be suiting up for Oz. With Rick Fox and the guy in the wheelchair with the dreads. I can't remember his name. It was on The Best Man. You're going to be in Oz with Adebisi.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.